Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, artists, entrepreneurs, marketers, spiritualists, students, and mentors in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I'm super excited to have with me the man who actually inspired the Connection Sessions, Mr. Joe Koo. Joe's own interview series, which is really just about having deep conversations with other human beings, is what gave rise to my idea of creating basically a set of conversations between two people who are connecting and sharing their wisdom with an audience that hasn't been marketed and hasn't been pounded, is just there to watch something that they genuinely want to see. So Joe, I'm so excited to have you with me today. If you wouldn't mind just sharing how you came to life coaching and kind of a little detail of the similar marketing belief system that we have.
Oh man, so this is my origin story. Okay, here we go. So not too long ago, I was in South Africa. And that in itself is kind of a longer story. But while I was there, I had the fortune of being on a farm in the middle of nowhere, living in a community of people who practiced very similar techniques relating to mindfulness, self-responsibility, and all of that. And as idyllic and paradisical as that environment sounds, what actually happened to me during my time there, there was this, a span of about 3 years, I went into severe depression. And it was the best place for me to do it. Because I was disconnected from my old life. I no longer had to show up at the work, at the office, pretending to have everything under control.
Yeah,
I was in an environment where finally I can break down and have people who were themselves very self-aware. And so, and it's so beautiful because I consider them my extended family. I love these people so much. I've known them for over a decade. But when they saw me in my most severe depression, it's not like I was making any effort to hide it. So everybody saw it and everybody knew Joe is not doing good. He's not okay, but we're not going to do anything for him. We're not going to coddle him. We're not going to go babysit him. We're not going to treat him like he doesn't know what the heck he's doing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And there was this unspoken agreement amongst all of us. And I was in there for a long time. And during that phase, I was facing aspects of myself I've been aware of, but because I was a very smart guy, a very intellectual guy, I was really good at staying busy.
Yeah.
Right? And like, I'm too busy. I've got this 80-hour work week. It's so stressful. Oh my God. Oh, but I'm handling it. I'm good. I'm okay. Yeah. And when I was removed from all of that, I didn't have those excuses. And I didn't have anyone else to blame or shift onto. And in that space, I returned to my darkness, my womb, in which I had to contend with my demons. I had to contend with my guilt. I had to contend with all the ways in which I personally am responsible for having hurt other people, for having hurt myself, for having made decisions from weakness. And all of that, and having no one to blame other than myself. So I consider it my death period. That stretch of time in the darkness with myself, surrounded by people who genuinely I fully trust with my life. But knowing that I was going to have to be my own savior, that I was going to have to do it for myself. Otherwise, I would just land right back in the pit again. So out of all of this, I had been in the coaching space for a while now, for about 10 years. I was the guy actually in high school I would be the guy that sat by himself on the bench reading books like Conversations with God. And, wow. You know, Seed of the Soul, Gary Zukav, the channeled materials of Jane Roberts and Seth. I was that guy.
Wow.
So, you know, I was really popular and I was invited to all the parties. So, but anyway, just to give an idea of like very early on, I was already in that space of deeply investigating and owning. But that doesn't necessarily mean that just because we know and we read the stuff that we necessarily apply it.
Oh, that's so true.
And that was where it hit, right? When I was in that space, all this knowledge, all of this wisdom I've acquired over the years, a lot of it actually was just feeding my ego. A lot of it was me being like, look how enlightened I am. Look how much I know about reality and consciousness. You are just a peon and I don't need to deal with you. And I'm just, but when you're faced with yourself, when you really embrace your shadow, when you really get to the god-awful truth about yourself, that's when all of that knowledge, you realize very quickly how useless it was when you didn't really apply it, when you didn't really live it, when you didn't really embody it, and it was just kind of feeding your head. Anyway, to bring this to how I got into coaching, during my very severe depressive phase, I was actually coaching people. I was actually working with people. So there was a dynamic where I was deeply depressed and I was having suicidal thoughts. And I was having very specific suicidal thoughts where I was like, okay, I'm in South Africa. I'm with these people that I fucking love. And I don't want to do it here because I don't want them to have to deal with it. So I'm going to buy a plane ticket. I'm going to get a taxi in the middle of the night. I'm going to leave them some money. And I'm going to go to the airport and I'm going to fly to Portland and I'm going to go downtown and I'm going to jump off the bridge in the middle of downtown because that was my favorite spot. And that was going to be my last gift to myself, was to end it there in a poetic way. So even when I was thinking about ending my life, I was still considering others.
Yes.
And that was actually, that was a clue, right? Yes, as we do. Exactly. It's the curse of coaches. But here's where it comes to the point of me committing to coaching as a profession, as a vocation.
Awesome.
So one day when I was having these very specific thoughts about ending my life because I felt so disconnected, felt so useless, felt so hurt, I was on the phone with one of my clients at the time. And on that day, when I got on the phone, my problems disappeared. Joku wasn't here. It was just about the work. It was about the space. It was about two people relating, connecting, and tapping into something that connects us on a much, much deeper and real level.
Yeah.
And as I was working with this person, she got really deep, as we do in my sessions. And she was crying and releasing all this stuff. And we got really, it was like a 2-hour session, really deep. And at the end of the call, I knew that she had worked through a lot of pent-up stuff that she might not have been able to work through with anyone else.
Yeah.
And then it hit me and was like, if I wasn't here, who else was going to do that?
Yeah.
And if I'm the kind of guy who, on my most severe, dark, depressive, suicidal day, would still pick up a phone and say, let me help one more person and then I'll kill myself.
Yeah.
What would happen if I lean into that completely? What would happen if I come from that space, that truth of myself every day? Wouldn't that mean I would never give up? Wouldn't that mean I would never burn out? If this is the thing that I literally didn't end my life for, if I make that the starting point of each and every moment of my life, what would happen? And from then on, everything started to fall into alignment where I realized, like, wow, I really did go on a big hero's journey here.
Yes.
The call to adventure, quitting my job, going to South Africa for 3 years with no backup plan.
Yeah.
Facing the darkness, going into the abyss, going into the rebirth, and then realizing all the pain that I've accumulated, all that stuff that I was so guilty about, having worked through it and still working through it. I'm not transcended or anything. But realizing that all of that pain serves purpose when I decide for it to.
Yeah.
When I decide that all of this pain, all the stuff I've spent years hiding and ashamed about, when I convert that into an energy for me, and I use that and I channel that and I embrace all of my darkness, all my pain, all my shame, all my guilt, all my anger, it not only nourishes me, it allows me to help other people get out of it. It becomes immensely useful, and it's
transformation. It's like,
yeah. And it's, I don't burn out on it. That was like the second big realization for me. It's like, you know, when I do my 300 conversations project, sometimes I have convos lined up the entire day. I don't get tired. And it's 2 hour long conversations.
Yeah.
So like all of this comes to the point where I realized in embracing myself fully and authentically and owning my pain instead of hiding or running away from it, kind of embracing all of my shadow and owning the fact that I am the kind of guy that can get so depressed that I want to end myself. But even then, there's that part of me that is still going to say, no, it's not going to end this way. I decide to turn this pain into some kind of meaning, and I'm going to use that to help one person. Even if it's one person, it'll be worth it.
Oh, dude, you had me crying there for a minute. Like, I am a huge Joseph Campbell fan, like adore Joseph Campbell. And I love that archetype of the call to journey, being separated from the community, being put into a place that we don't know, and facing our dragons, which really is that dark side that we spend so much time forcing away to not have to experience. And it's not the darkness that causes our pain. It's our pushing. So how do you help a client who is currently pushing against that darkness, against the past feelings that they don't want to experience, against all the imagined boogeymen in their minds about what they are and their worthlessness? How do you help them do what you did and use that as the fodder for the flames out of which you rise?
Oh, I love your poetry. Yeah. So an interesting thing that I started doing while I was in South Africa, I had the liberty to not have to worry about work and survival.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. But the trade-off was I had to face myself. So I there was an interesting exercise that I kind of developed. It just kind of just made sense to do. I don't know where I got it from, but I would spend quite a large amount of time just laying in bed, and I would just allow myself to be depressed.
Yeah.
And allow myself to be angry at myself, but to not feed into the energy, like not go into the actual anger, but to be with it and not fight it and fully embrace it. Because on the other side of all of that anger, all of that resentment, all of that pain were wounds, were fears, were aspects that I had locked away, which is why it's in the shadow, right? If you think about cutting off a part of yourself, knowing that you are eternal and you are forever, that the most you could ever do is just try to hide from yourself. You can't really destroy yourself. With that concept, if you were to separate a part of yourself and then try to isolate that part because it causes you grief or pain or conflict, and you hide it and you put it in a box and you play peekaboo and say, yeah, as long as I don't look at it, as long as I don't acknowledge it, it's not there. what do you think is going to happen to that part of you that's been locked away?
It's going to fester.
It's going to fester. It's going to starve. It's going to become desperate. It's going to become monstrous because it has to. And that's the element that I work with when dealing with myself. I remind myself that there's a reason why I put that part of myself away.
Yes.
And there's a reason why I've kept it there. And there could have been good logical reasons for why I didn't choose to deal with it at the time. And I think this is a very important piece, because now when I work with clients, first we have to address the fact that there's nothing wrong with how you chose to compartmentalize yourself.
You're doing the best you could.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, this is stuff that happens when you're 4, 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
Don't have a vocabulary, but you're already making strategies for adapting to your environment. And I came from a very abusive childhood, so I'm very familiar with that. But the first thing to understand is there's nothing wrong with you. It was a strategy. And at that time, that was the perfect thing. That was what you needed to do. It got you here. So it worked. Now the problem is you need to update that strategy so that it reflects who you want to be going forward. And that includes you forgiving yourself for who you were at the time. That includes you forgiving yourself for not at the time having the tools that you have access to now. And when I work with a client, I remind them, look, you're dealing with a guy that's been as close to suicide as you can get without actually pulling the trigger. You're dealing with a guy that's been homeless. You're dealing with a guy that survived childhood abuse and trauma. You're dealing with a guy that sold everything that he had, went to South Africa for 3 years with no backup plan, and then came back to tell about it. That's who you're working with. You're in very good hands.
Oh, dude, it's like you're my twin. I've been homeless. I have actually put the loaded gun to my temple and pulled the trigger and had it misfire. I've attempted to hang myself. Like, all of what you're saying just resonates within my being like the gong, like a gong. It's so powerful. And I think so many of us spend so much time terrified of arriving at this place because of our terror of what lies in that little box that we've put off to the side and allowed to fester. And I remember my bottom before I got sober after 10 years of debauchery and drug addiction and homelessness was looking in a mirror and realizing that I couldn't see anything in my eyes. There was no soul, as I then understood a soul to be. They were shark eyes. They were just solid black, and they seemed to go on and drop into eternity for forever. Mm-hmm. And that moment of, if I'm not in here, what is?
Yeah.
And it was my shadow. It was that darkness that was done being told to shut up and to be small. And like you, that was the beginning of my rise from the ashes, when I was willing to take a year off and do nothing but focus on my pain, focus on my past, and stride through that. And how do you explain to a client what it is like to be the after to their before?
I don't know that you can, because it's like, am I the after? I'm still a work in progress. But I can say that who I am today is a man that wakes up, because I come from that space of every day. My starting point is to be and do the thing that I literally decided to not kill myself for. So when it's about really living that, and that requires you to be unapologetically authentic. And that's one of the cornerstones of my coaching and the people that I work with. Yeah. Don't apologize for who you are.
Yes.
Ever. And own that to such a degree that you never become separated again. And when you have that, and it's not about being a jerk or an asshole, it's about owning yourself so much and being able to love yourself so much that you don't take that crap anymore.
Yes.
Especially from yourself.
Oh, God, yes.
So when that starts to become the starting point of how you live, you will transform. People in your life may come and go. You might realize, I can't stay in this relationship, or I can't stay at this job, or I need to get a tattoo. Whatever it is, whatever it is.
Or all of the above.
All of the above, right? I mean, like, yeah, you know. So, that stuff will start coming up. Yeah. And my philosophy is, as a coach, I'm not here to transform you. I'm here to point you to what you need to look at. And once you realize that and you start doing the work, the transformation is a given. It's gonna happen. It has to, because you're no longer living the old story anymore. Yes. It's kind of like when you watch a magician do a trick and you're kind of hypnotized by, whoa, how did he do that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
But when you know how the trick is done, when you see that same trick performed, you no longer get mesmerized. You're no longer fooled.
Yeah.
Instead, you can appreciate the art and the craft that went into that illusion.
For sure.
And that, yeah. And that happens with the trauma and the pain, you know,
where that's beautiful.
You start to realize, yeah, in the past, I would have just continued victimizing myself. In the past, I would have just completely owned my victimhood as a victim. But now it's like, I see how that trick was performed. I see all the ways that I wound myself up around the pain so that I wouldn't have to look at it. But now that I'm turned around, that doesn't have to determine who I am. That doesn't determine where I'm going. I'm not mesmerized by my own trauma and my own pain anymore. Wow. It doesn't mean it goes away. It doesn't change anything that happened, but it changes absolutely who you are and who you intend to be. And
your relationship with that.
Yeah. And when you change your relationship with yourself, with your own story, it changes your relationship with everything in your world, including the people around you and the opportunities that will become possible because of that.
That's so powerful, Joe. I like to give the analogy to my clients who are struggling with the past and memories, that owning a memory like it's the thing that you're remembering is like walking along the beach and looking at the footprints of your friend and imagining that those footprints are your friend.
Yeah.
A memory is just a corpse of an experience.
Yeah.
It's not real. It doesn't exist here in the space-time continuum. It is your brain trying to grasp at what has already passed. And as we hold on to those memories, especially the ones that we tuck in that little cigar box and put off to the side, that corpse is literally allowed to fester and decay until when we're forced to face it, it's like that zombie that pops out of the closet in The Walking Dead and comes after us.
Right.
And I love the way that you are, the idea of somebody who becomes that Persephone for someone, that mythic archetype of the one who travels through hell, like Dante and Virgil, to find that the way out is at the center of hell. There's no skirting the edge of hell and then leaving.
The way out is through. Yes.
That's so freaking powerful. And this is the kind of stuff I love to talk about, because it empowers people to walk through their hell and believe that because somebody else has done it, God is no respecter of persons, and I will be able to do it too. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Wow, dude, I am fangirling on you so hard right now. I just love your message, and I love the story that you share that literally takes the hero's journey and puts it into a tangible experience in the lives of other people. So we're coming up on the end of the half hour, which this one seems to have gone by the fastest out of any I've ever done. If you had a message to the viewers who are sitting here watching right now, who are struggling with running from their dark side and want to know how to get through this, what is that message, brother?
The first thing to understand that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you or how you're feeling about it, but there is something wrong with the decision to stay there.
Yeah.
And let that run the rest of your life. Because the people that suffer from your depression, from your hiding, from your pain and your guilt, is not just you. It's all the people that you're no longer connecting to. It's all the people that are no longer benefiting from the better version of you that could be in this world. It's all the people that, you know, their lives are not going to have the benefit of you showing up and you not recognizing the fact that the world is better with you in it.
Yes.
And that is a hurdle. That is hard. It will demand a lot of you, as it should. Yes. So in those moments, it's absolutely okay to get help. And if that takes the form of therapy, if that takes the form of taking a year for yourself, if that takes the form of, you know, reaching out to me, and I'm not making a sales pitch here, but this is literally why I didn't kill myself.
Yeah.
So I am passionate about making sure that the people that are ready for this, that are going to do the work and know that on the other side of all of this pain is the life that they are intended to live, that there is a good resolution to the story for them if they show up and answer the call. I'm here, but again, it's not just about me. Look for the guides, open yourself up, get help, and show up for your hero's journey. It's absolutely worth it.
Yes, it is.
And don't look at how much time you spent in the darkness. Don't look at how hard it's been to this point. Look at how many more years after this that are going to be the rest of your life to live out the benefit of you finishing this journey.
What a powerful, powerful message. Thank you, Joe. To our viewers, to Margaret, to Misty, to Andrea, to Jeffrey, to Ashley, to everyone who joined us today, I'm going to come out and say it. You got a hell of a treat. Thank you, Joe, for just being you and for not ending this life, because you are a transformational man who has a transformational message to share. And I consider myself blessed and honored to get here just to be around you and absorb some of this amazing energy. So thank you. To everyone watching, we will be here tomorrow, same place, same time. And as always, you know I love you. Bye, everyone.